Prince Francesco rubbed his eyes. He was bored and could not concentrate on his book. He missed Nella. He wished she were here with him in his chambers. He didn't know if she would ever see this room, curl up to him in these cozy quarters. Their love was a forbidden one. The signal. Prince Francesco ran to his bookshelf, his secret passageway to Nella. He opened the bookshelf door and saw that the crystal tunnel was sparkling with every color of the rainbow. Nella had activated the tunnel, letting him know that she was ready to see him. He must go to her right away. The prince stripped himself bare, as he always did when he went to see Nella. He sprinted onto the gem-encrusted floor, ignoring that for the first time, the crystals were unusually sharp. Francesco slipped on something jagged. He looked down. His foot was completely bloody, cut clean open. What was going on? He stood up, but the pain was overwhelming. He tried to take another step, but he slipped on another razor-sharp stone. The cave glittered wildly. Nella was calling out for him, and he wanted desperately to tell her he was on his way. Francesco tried to proceed, but the crystals had been completely shattered, splintered into a million deadly shards. They were cutting him everywhere. Deep gashes in his legs, sinewy muscles exposed, blood splattered onto the iridescent glass. There was no way he could go on. He had to turn back. Francesco didn't know if he was going to make it home. He lost blood quickly and his vision blurred, consciousness slipping away. Prince Francesco put one foot in front of the other, stumbling. Almost there, he slipped again. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales on the Parcast Network. Every other Saturday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. Today, I'm sharing a lesser-known tale, an Italian fable from the 17th century by Giambattista Basile, Verde Prato. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Verde Prato features murder, encounters with ogres, and other near-death experiences. Please exercise caution for children under 13. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help. We also now have merchandise. Head to parcast.com/merch for more information. If you want to hear more tales, you can find all of Parcast's podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Verde Prato was originally included in an extensive fairy tale collection called Il Pentamerone, The Tale of Tales. Even though this tome fell into obscurity over the centuries, famous fairy tale heavyweights Charles Perrault and the Brothers Grimm borrowed heavily from Basile's work, adapting many of the stories. The Grimm brothers openly remarked on its influence on their own work, praising the collection as one of the best. The Italian title, Verde Prato, translates to Green Meadow, which doesn't seem to have any relevance to the story at first glance. Some folklorists believe it's the name of the prince, and others think it's a mistranslation of Green Feather. Others circumvent this confusion entirely by calling it The Tale of Three Sisters, which, as you'll soon hear, is much more apt. Based on the 1893 translation of Il Pentamerone, which mentions neither meadows nor feathers and leaves the prince nameless, we believe Verde Prato is a reference to the green face paint employed by the main character. A sort of camouflage, it could appear to resemble both a meadow or a feather, And most importantly, it highlights that the protagonist, Nella, is both active and quick-thinking. Furthering this, Nella is the only character in Basile's writing of the tale who's given a name. In an idyllic Italian village, Nella was a young, happy-go-lucky woman. Fortune had smiled upon her since the day she was born, and every person Nella encountered held her in the highest regard. Nella lived with her two older sisters, Giulia and Chiara. They were quite the opposite of Nella in every way. They were spiteful and cross. They blamed the world for their misfortunes, their brows downturned, and their mouths set in a frown. And while Nella navigated the world with kindness and generosity towards her fellow man, her sisters were bitter that nothing ever worked out for them. Perhaps it could be said their negative hearts and minds and their lifelong commitment to ungraciousness could have contributed to their sorrows and bad luck, but they refused to acknowledge their own misbehaviors. More than anything, they were green with envy and wanted to destroy their perfect sister, Nella. In this country, there also lived an enchanting prince, dashing and kind, beloved by all the women who set eyes on him. There was always gossip about who he would someday marry, but there was only one woman who had his heart, Nella. Prince Francesco loved Nella. He had loved her since he had first ridden his horse through her pastoral village and had spotted her through the crowds. She'd been helping a hunchbacked old woman arrange bouquets of flowers when he saw her. He had thought of Nella like those flowers, bursting with color and vibrancy in a dull world. But his mother was an unkind woman. She believed that no one was good enough for her beloved son, particularly a woman who was not of noble blood. Royal family after family would bring their daughters to the palace in the hopes of forging an alliance, but his mother observed them with a raised eyebrow and ferocious scowl. She had not found one girl she deemed worthy. There was always something wrong with them, too mousy, too gauche, hips too narrow for breeding. The queen was entirely unpleasable. Francesco knew that his mother would never approve of humble, innocent Nella. He wished he could make his parents happy, but all along he knew Nella was the only woman for him, his beloved. So the couple absconded to a small village in the countryside and had a secret wedding. Nella knew her sisters would try to spite her, and Francesco knew his family would not approve. The couple didn't tell a soul about their marriage. In order to discreetly meet with his new wife, Prince Francesco constructed a magical crystal tunnel that connected the royal palace to Nella's apartment. Even though it was miles long, he would race through it, carried along swiftly by the power of the mystical gems encrusted into the walls. Francesco gave Nella a packet of powder upon its creation, telling her, "My darling, when you wish for me to come to you, throw a little of this powder into the fire, and I shall arrive in an instant." The next night, a skeptical Nella did as she was instructed and shook a little of the powder into the fire. Within moments, Francesco was standing in front of her, completely nude, a sight to behold. Nella shook her head in wonder and looked at the satchel of powder she still held in her hand. How had he come into such marvelous, wondrous creations? Francesco told her that he had made it all for her. It was his wedding present, so that they could be together whenever they wanted. Nella jumped into her naked lover's embrace, squealing with delight. Night after night, Francesco sprinted through the tunnel to his wife. But Nella wasn't hiding her secret marriage as carefully as she thought. Her sisters had noticed that she mooned about the house as if in a blissful dream. One night, Kiara and Julia spied on her to figure out what was going on, and it just so happened that it was a night that the prince had come to visit Nella. They watched as the handsome, naked man came to their sister's bed. It made them sick to their stomachs, watching their sister make love to the stunning prince. Why did she deserve such a prize? Where had he even come from? Could he be an evil spirit or demon? After all, no one had come in through the house. When he left, they watched with widened eyes as a magical tunnel opened up through the wall, and he disappeared into the crystal tunnel. That night, they hatched a plan to destroy this perfect union. The next day, while Nella was at the market, Kiara and Julia returned to Nella's rooms and investigated the wall and fireplace. Nothing magically opened for them. But finally, they found a loose part of the fireplace that allowed them to crawl into the entrance of the secret crystal tunnel. Their wonder and admiration at the magical sight only served to fuel their anger. Of course, their annoying sister got to have a magical tunnel and a handsome secret lover, while they had no lovers, and more importantly, no glittering tunnels. Fueled by envy, the two women walked all 8 miles of the tunnel. On the way back, they crushed every crystal, leaving a path of glittering shards. Nella and Francesco would never see each other again. They laughed as they returned home. No one could make it through the tunnel without slicing themselves to bits. The prince was going to die. We'll see this spiteful plan come into effect after this. And now, back to the story. Unaware that her sisters had destroyed the crystal tunnel that brought her secret husband, Prince Francesco, to her, Nella paced in front of her fireplace. She didn't understand. She'd thrown the powder in the fire almost an hour ago. She'd actually sprinkled it in twice. She stared at it and sighed. What could possibly have happened to Francesco? She looked at the fine, sparkly powder in her hand. Was it possible it had grown stale somehow? She shook her head. That was silly. Magic didn't grow rotten like fruit in the winter. But still, Francesco never took this long to get to her. Nella's throat caught. Her beloved husband. Had his mother found out about them and forbid him to come? Nella swallowed the fear. She mustn't think like that. Wiping a stray tear from her face, she smoothed her dress. She set the satchel of powder on her dresser and went downstairs to fetch a glass of water.
"Good evening, sister,"
Kiara said as she knitted in her rocking chair.
"We haven't seen much of you in the evenings. What could you possibly be up to these days?"
Kiara and Julia exchanged smug smiles. Nella noted this, but didn't say anything. They pretended to go back to their knitting and reading, but Nella could feel them watching her out of the corner of their eyes. They were up to something, but she couldn't tell what it was. Suddenly, a great commotion came from outside the house. All three sisters jumped in alarm and ran to the window. A great number of royal cavalry were galloping into the town. They carried the banner of the palace, Francesco's banner. The sisters flung open the door and rushed into the streets of the village. Others were rushing out too, alarmed by the sudden flurry of activity into the sleepy village. One of the horsemen trotted right in front of Nella and began hammering a notice to a tree. Nella was too far away to read the words, but could see that it had the face of her beloved husband on it. She almost fell over in shock. A booming voice broke out above the crowd. It was the lead horseman.
"Attention! The beloved son of the king, Prince Francesco, has been mortally wounded. The royal doctors have tried every human remedy possible, and his wounds simply will not heal. The king fears some enchantment or curse has befallen his son."
It was all Nella could do to keep from bursting into tears. Francesco was laying on his deathbed, alone. The man quieted the whispering crowd, gossiping at what terrible atrocity must have befallen the prince.
The king is begging for anyone who might be able to cure his son's bewitched wounds. If the healer is a man, he will be rewarded with half his kingdom. And if the healer is a woman, he offers the lady his son's hand in marriage.
The crowd burst with excitement. Nella noted the buzz from the women in particular. Nella spun on her heels and almost walked directly into her sisters, who were eyeing her for her reaction. Nella stared back at them, wondering what they could possibly know. The crowd quickly dispersed. Some returned to their homes, shaking their heads, muttering about the tragedy it was for such a young, handsome man to lose his life. Others plotted to become his blushing bride or procure half of the kingdom. The sun had not yet set, and Nella knew she could make it some distance to Francesco before she lost light. If he was going to die, she would make sure that she would be by his side until his final breath. Nella quickly got her paints from her art drawer and painted her pale face to blend into the forest. She traded her feminine pink dress for a woodsy and worn-down riding outfit. Nella locked her bedroom door and blew out the candles so her sisters would think that she had retired early. Then she climbed out the window, balancing on the windowsill. She could hear her sisters below, laughing and whispering. No doubt they were talking about her. She held her breath and tried to elegantly and quietly jump down one story. Flailing, she toppled onto the ground.
Oof!
Nella picked herself up and dusted herself off. She wasn't sure if her sisters had heard her, but she wasn't going to wait around to find out. She dashed into the trees without so much as a glance back. Poor Francesco was dying, and she had to see him before he took his last breath. Nella moved as fast as her feet could carry her. As the sun set, she had very little light to guide her way, and she stumbled over branches and tree roots. Nella knew she would have to stop at some point, but as the temperature dropped, the thought of sleeping out here all alone made her shiver. And the thought of who else may be out here made her shiver even more. As she cleared a particularly thick grove of fir trees, Nella squinted into the distance. She could swear that there was a light up ahead. She hurried towards it. As she got closer, she could see that it was a house. She squealed with delight and picked up the pace. As she got closer, she saw that the windows were open and heard voices. As she approached the house, she could see through the window that two ogres sat at the table. Nella climbed up the nearest tree. She had heard tales of the ogres who lived in the thick woods near the royal palace, but she had never actually seen them. She had assumed it was a tale meant to frighten young children. Nella could see that they had finished their evening meal, along with several bottles of wine. They were now tipsy, loose and spirited. The volume of their voices was quite loud. The ogress was demanding that her husband share with her news from the world. The hairy, foul-looking husband grinned mischievously, like he had a secret.
"Here's something you might find very interesting. Tell me, you oaf,"
the ogress demanded playfully.
"News is spread throughout the land that the son of the king, Prince Francesco, lies on his deathbed."
The ogre leaned back in his chair, satisfied with this juicy tidbit. The ogress shook her head.
"How is it possible?"
Her husband answered,
"That is what the entire world is pondering, my lovely beast. The king is summoning every doctor from far and wide, and no one can help him."
The ogress replied incredulously,
"Is this some new disease that no one has heard of? Did he lose a limb?"
The ogre laughed at his wife's inept guesses. He leaned in conspiratorially.
"Here's the story. He had a magical crystal tunnel that he would use to see a pretty young woman in a neighboring village."
Outside, Nella's hands were shaking from clutching the tree branch so tightly. She couldn't believe her ears. How could they have known about their arrangement? The wife didn't seem to believe it either, but her husband continued.
A royal has access to much magic, and living in the forest, I have access to many a whispering bird. No one knew about this secret tunnel, or so they thought. But someone found out, someone who wanted to see them both miserable, and it so happened the road was destroyed by the jealous parties.
A tear slipped down Nella's cheek. How could someone have been so cruel to destroy the tunnel? The ogre continued the story, to the sadistic amusement of his wife.
And as he ran, barefoot and naked, to see this certain woman through the crystal tunnel, the broken shard sliced the prince to pieces, and he became so mutilated and bloody that he barely could turn around and make it home before he completely bled out, muscles shredded, skin peeling.
The ogress pondered this.
Delicious.
The ogre nodded agreement, licking his lips.
I know, and I know the one thing that will save him. You can't tell a soul, because this could endanger our lives.
The wife promised secrecy till her dying breath, and promised twice times more when her ogre husband threatened her life. Finally, the ogre revealed the secret cure.
If his mortal wounds are slathered with the fat from our bodies, his health will instantly be restored.
Nella confronts the ogres after this. And now, back to our tale. The fat from the ogres could save Francesco's life. Nella's mind raced at this revelation. She had to act quickly. She brushed off the dirt and smoothed her hair to look presentable. Nella's hands were shaking as she knocked at the ogre's front door. The husband and wife greeted her with surprise. As man-eating ogres, they were not used to visitors. They stared at her, unsure of what to say.
I'm sorry to bother you at this late hour.
Nella lowered her eyes demurely.
I am traveling to my cousin's house on the other side of this wood and seem to have lost my way. Would I perchance be able to spend the night here? It has grown quite late, and I am afraid to lose my way even further.
The beastly wife frowned, suspicious of outsiders.
We shall give you a loaf, but you cannot stay here.
The wife started to close the door, but the husband stood behind her salivating, licking his chops at the thought of comely human flesh on his tongue.
Wife, how can you cast aside the poor child? For all we know, she could be eaten by a wolf.
He laughed, and the hairs pricked up on Nella's neck. The ogre husband opened the door for her, and she stepped inside. As she got a better look at them in the light, she saw that their teeth were sharp and yellow. Their breath was heavy and foul. The ogre wife unceremoniously tossed her a loaf of bread and pointed to a bare corner in the room, indicating that's where Nella should sleep. The ogre couple continued to imbibe glass after glass of wine, not offering one to Nella. They slurred their words now, completely in the throes of inebriation. She kept seeing the husband glance over at her, licking his chops. The noxious smells were overwhelming. The noises were making her woozy. The paint on her face itched. Nella closed her eyes and thought of what Francesco might be going through right now. She had to stay strong for him. Nella waited with her eyes wide open, unwilling to let her guard down. Finally, late into the night, the ogres passed out. The wife had her head face down onto the table. The husband's head lolled back, mouth gaping open as if he were going to tip backward. Nella raced to her feet. She had to make it out of here alive, and with their fat. She quickly scoured the kitchen for the sharpest knife she could possibly find. Perhaps she could just slice a piece of the male ogre's arm off. She shook her head. No, if she merely nicked them, they would wake up and kill her. She had to kill them both. Nella raised the knife over her head, directly over the vulgar, beastly ogre. The ogre suddenly opened his eyes, staring right into Nella. She almost dropped the knife in terror, but it was too late now. She plunged the knife into his heart. At Nella's screams, the wife's eyes fluttered open. She blinked at Nella, clearly still drunk. Nella realized that she didn't have very long before the ogress saw what she was doing to her husband. Bloody and wild-eyed, Nella crawled over the table and stabbed her knife into the ogress's forehead. But Nella couldn't pull it out. It was stuck in her skull. Either way, she had done it. Horrified at the gruesome scene in front of her, she left the knife in the woman's head while she stumbled into the kitchen, seeking jars to fill with the dead ogre's fat. Dawn was breaking when Nella made it to the gates of the palace, screaming that she could save the prince. She hadn't slept a wink. She was hungry, delirious. She didn't even know if Francesco was still alive. Under normal circumstances, the guards might have ignored her or turned her away, or worse, send her into the bowels of the palace dungeon where she would never be heard from again. But the prince was taking his last breaths. They would entertain anyone promising to have a cure. Nella was quickly ushered up to the royal chambers, surrounded by nurses, maids, and the king himself. She saw the queen avert her eyes, as if Nella were a piece of garbage. But Nella couldn't think about that now. She had to save Francesco. His skin an ashy gray, as if the life had been already sucked out of him. She wanted to weep and fall at his feet at the sight of him, but she had to stay calm. She knelt by his bed and unscrewed the jars of odorous ogre fat. It was slick and slimy, a queasy green color. The throng of people around her looked horrified as she dumped the goop onto the prince's wounds. After Nella had covered his entire body, she stood back. The crowd stared, enraptured. Then, miraculously, the wounds began to close. The color suddenly returned to Francesco's cheeks, and he opened his eyes. The crowd gasped, blinking. When the process was complete, Francesco sat up, confused. He looked around the stunned, silent crowd. "What is everyone doing in here? Why are you all staring at me?" No one could respond. Finally, his father stepped forward.
"You shall marry this woman,"
crowed the king, clasping the hand of the disheveled and wild-eyed Nella. Francesco looked startled, rather unaware of the promises his father had made while on his deathbed. He cleared his throat awkwardly.
I'm sorry, father. I can't marry this woman. I love someone else. I am committed to her."
The prince's mother looked furious, ready to strangle him. Nella almost wept with joy. She rubbed the paint off her face, trying to look like herself. She grabbed Francesco's hands.
"My love, it is I, your Nella."
Francesco looked at her wide-eyed, as if he were hallucinating.
"It's you. You saved me."
Overcome with relief and joy, the two lovers embraced. The crowd exchanged confused glances, but began to clap anyway. Nella and Francesco didn't even notice the gawking onlookers. No more tunnels, no more secrets. They were free to be together. They laughed and kissed. Their dream had come true in the most unlikely way possible. Jealous, Nella's sisters, Chiara and Julia, confessed to their crimes.
hoping to be shown mercy and become part of the royal family. But there would be no mercy for almost murdering the heir to the throne. Kiara and Julia's lives of misery and bitterness came to befitting ends. They were thrown into an oven, and as their skin turned to ash and their screams turned to dust, Nella's new mother-in-law turned to her and calmly remarked,
"No evil ever went without punishment."
And Nella and Francesco lived happily ever after. Unlike many other fairy tales, Verde Prato is not considered a heavy morality tale for children. There are no lessons for young women to learn about strangers and devious people, or warnings of naughty children being seduced and losing their virtue. But there is the reminder that evil will always be punished, that good will prevail. This unique fairy tale embodies an unusual feminism for its day, a brave heroine saving the prince rather than the other way around. Hopefully, this tale of ogre fat and crystal tunnels can make its way into the more popular fairy tale canon as an example of a strong woman who saves the day and does it without compromising her good heart or noble spirit. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales, as well as all of Parcast's other podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or your favorite podcast directory. Several of you have asked how to help us. Well, if you enjoy the show, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast, and Twitter at Parcast Network. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro and Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusek. I'm Vanessa Richardson.